Good morning. My name is Jackie Ambler. I'm a member of this church and I'm also a lay preacher. And it's my privilege today to bring you God's word. Over the last 3 weeks, we have been looking at the life of Joseph and the terrible things that happened to him. I'm sure that some of us have had times in our lives when we have said to ourselves, "Where is God? Why is he letting this happen to me?" I have to tell you that even if you don't know God, he knows you, and he is watching over you. When I look back on my life now, I can see where God was at work, even before I knew him. I was not born into a family that attended church, but that doesn't mean that I didn't go. God, in his wisdom, brought different people into my life that took me to church. As a child, I had an aunt who used to walk past our house on a Sunday morning going to the Baptist church. She called and picked me up and took me to Sunday school. We moved house when I was about 7, and one of the boys I walked to school with had an older sister who attended the Congregational Church, and they invited me to go with them. I stopped going when I started high school, but at 16, I was invited by a friend to go to a youth group on a Friday night. I enjoyed this, but soon found out to attend the youth group I needed to go to church. I met my future husband at that youth group, and we continued to attend the church until after our children were born, when we moved house once again. 4 years later, as a working mother with 2 small children, I was invited to church by my sister-in-law, whom I was working with. I went there regularly and took our children because I found out that if I went to church in the morning, she would keep the children so that she could take them to Sunday school in the afternoon. So that was a bonus. Although I was going to church now for the purely selfish reasons, God knew just what he was doing. I had attended 3 different churches of 3 denominations up to then. I had heard all about Jesus and God. I believed what I had been taught, and I would have had no trouble at all in saying that I was a Christian. But at this new church I was going to, I found that these people spoke of Jesus Christ as if they knew him. I listened to 3 girls who used to sing at the front. They were about 16 or 17 years old. And every time they got up to sing, they would introduce the song by telling us what that meant to them, how Jesus had done something in their lives, and this song reminded them of it. They talked about Jesus as if he was the boy who lived next door. They had been listening to God's word, and they were actually living it out. And I found I desperately wanted to know Jesus like that. God's word says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." I started listening, really listening to what the minister said. The funny thing is, he didn't say anything that I hadn't heard before. But now I understood what he was talking about. God tells us that we are all his children and he wants every one of us to know him as their Father. But he gives us a choice. Do we want to know him as our Father? It's only when we have made that decision to say, "Yes, Lord, I want you to be my Father and to have that truly wonderful relationship with you," it's only then that we can begin to understand what he is saying to us. And then we can put into practice the things that he asks us to do. 3 years after I invited Jesus into my life, I found I had a big decision to make. My husband arrived home from work one day and said, "Would you like to go and live in Australia? Let's go and find out more about it. We had never, ever spoken about anything like that before. But 6 months later, we were in a plane on our way to Adelaide. I had only one worry. Would I still keep my faith in God when I was away from all my new church friends? Before we left, my Bible study leader gave me a book as a going away present. Inside, she had written a farewell message and a Bible verse which said, 'For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus.' I have to tell you that God can be trusted. I know that because years later, my husband told me that getting me away from the church was one of the reasons that we had moved to the other side of the world. We spent 5 weeks in Woodville Hostel and then bought our home in Parafield Gardens. We moved in on a Saturday, and during the week we had our first visitor, the immigration minister, who just happened to be the minister of this church. The following Sunday, the four of us, both me, my husband, and the two children, were here in the original small church worshipping God and meeting the people who would become our family. 11 months later, my husband asked Jesus into his heart. God, our Heavenly Father, can be trusted. We continue today with our story of Joseph. Joseph had sent his brothers back home with food and instructions to collect their younger brother Benjamin and bring him back with them. Now, all 11 of them stood there in front of him. Genesis 45 tells us, "Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, 'Send everyone away from me.' So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and the household of Pharaoh heard him. Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?' But the brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' When they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.'" Here we see Joseph as the perfect man of God. He has been wronged by his brothers, sold into slavery, and yet, despite all of this, He can forgive them and save them all from starvation with no malice towards them or thought of revenge. But Joseph had not always been like this. He had to go through very hard times to emerge as this kind of man. We look at Joseph's brothers as having done a terrible thing, selling his brother as a slave. But if we were to come up before a court of law today on the charges, I'm sure the judge would want to look at all the mitigating circumstances that had brought him to this decision, brought them to this decision. As children, they had been aware of the tension within the family. Their father liked one of his wives better than the others, but they knew that this sort of thing did go on in big families, and they weren't concerned about that. They may have had different mothers, but one thing they had in common was that they were all loved by their father. They were his children, his sons. That was until Joseph came along. Joseph's birth changed all of that. Now it was obvious that Joseph was his son. He could have been his one and only son as far as their father was concerned. Now all of his love and attention went to Joseph. He was his love child, the long expected son of the wife that he had truly loved. With the birth of their youngest brother, Benjamin, things got even worse. For Rachel, his mother, died giving birth to Benjamin. And while this young baby was being cared for by one of the other wives, Jacob was now showered all of his affection on Joseph. The other boys were his sons, but they were not loved in the same way. They were just Jacob's security for his old age. Joseph learned to look after the flocks of sheep just like his brothers, but his father's love for him always got in the way of any relationship with his brothers. We are told that Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. For a young man of 17, Joseph had not learned to be sensitive to the circumstances around him. Knowing the hostility of his brothers had towards him because of his father's favoritism and because of the way he reported back to his father everything that they did, he still goes to his brothers and tells them of his dreams, how they will be bowing down to him. I think any judge or jury would have had to say that Joseph's brothers had been extremely provoked. So how did Joseph change from this insensitive young man to this man of God that we see? This change came about because of the 13 years in which Joseph had to go through mistreatment, misunderstanding, and unexplained circumstances, and seemingly unanswered prayer, and times when he had done the right thing and everything had turned out all wrong. These terrible events had changed him. Instead of blaming God for everything that had gone wrong in his life, he had looked to God for comfort and for guidance. Sold into slavery and placed in Potiphar's house, instead of grumbling about losing his freedom and loss of position in his father's household, he decided that God must have got him here for a reason, and so sets about doing the best work that he could do for his new master. A slave with a happy attitude and a willingness to work is soon noticed among the others and rewarded with favor from his master. But just when Joseph's prayers seem to have been answered, the rug gets pulled from under his feet again. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, and because he insults her by refusing, she accuses him of raping her. Where is God in all of this? He has done the right thing, and everything has turned out wrong. Why? Why? He must have asked God over and over again. And now he's put into jail. The one thing that came out of all of this was that the only person that he had to confide in, to ask questions of, and to try and get answers from, was God. All these trials and disappointments kept him in a daily relationship with God. Until in the end, he came to the conclusion that he didn't know why these things should happen, but he was sure that God had everything in control. Joseph did all the right things when he was in Potiphar's house, but it didn't turn out how it should have been. What if Joseph had been bitter and blamed God because he was now a slave? He probably would never have been put in a trusted position in the household. What if Joseph had gone to bed with Potiphar's wife? He may never have been found out, but then he wouldn't have ended up in jail. And if he hadn't been in jail, he wouldn't have had the opportunity to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, and a whole nation could have perished. What if, when Joseph saw his brothers trying to buy food, he had thought, at last I can get my own back on them? All his family could have starved to death. Joseph did not understand why he had to go through all of these terrible things, but he knew that God was in control and that he had a plan for him. What God allows to come into our lives yesterday helps to prepare us for today. And what today brings will equip us for tomorrow. When the right time came, Joseph was the kind of man God could use, and he was in the right place at the right time. Joseph's brothers had feared that he would take revenge on them for the past. But Joseph now understood God's purpose behind the early events in his life and rejoiced that he is the one to reunite and save his family from starvation. And so, the entire Hebrew population, 70 in number, moved to Goshen. In Egypt, the Hebrew remained a separate, distinct people, for Jacob and his sons were shepherds, an abominable occupation to Egyptians, and thus a natural barrier to intermarriage. For 400 years, they would multiply under these ideal conditions. This had been the plan all along, so that he could save not only his family, but his whole nation. As a child, Joseph had done the things that his father had asked him to do, and that is what had gotten him into trouble. But now he was listening to his heavenly Father, who was concerned not only for him, but also about his brothers, and that made all the difference in the world. Joseph wanted to use his power and success for good, for everyone, not just for himself. He didn't want revenge. He didn't want he wanted reconciliation. He didn't want to destroy them. He wanted to be a family again. God wants every one of us here to be part of his family. Talk to him. That's all you have to do. Tell him about the things you have done wrong and ask for his forgiveness. And thank him for sending Jesus to pay the price for those sins that you have done. And ask him to come into your heart. Amen.